Tim had asked me to help on that song, and I flubbed it up. Sorry about that. You know, as I come together to worship and to fellowship with the church here, I'm very humbled to be blessed with the privilege to be able to go before God with you in praise and adoration of His name, to be able to be in your presence and the Holy Spirit's and God's. They're one. I don't understand it. But we're here together. I'm humbled by the love that I see here. And I wonder, how could I have ever been blessed with the opportunity to be in the presence of such great love? I am thankful. My prayer is that we can go forward, that we can grow in our love, as the Apostle Paul said, and that we can share that love with many people and invite them to be a part of that love as well. One of the things that I have made it a point in business is to only deal with people in which I find integrity. The title of the lesson is Honesty. Not too long ago, I had a young lady put in an application to rent a house. And in running the references, I compared what she had told me with what I had found out. And I discovered that she had no integrity. She was a liar. So I guess you know what I did. I called her up and I said, "I'm sorry, we can't work together." People that I hire to do work for me. I think that's one of the things that has drawn us, me so close to Roy, is because Roy has integrity. And I continue to deal with Roy, with Tim, and with Terry. There have been some of the closest people that I've been able to continue to work with, and it's because of their honesty. They have integrity. And believe me, I've had some that didn't, and they only did one job. And if I knew about it beforehand, they didn't get that one. Because integrity is so very important. And so as we look at this lesson, we recognize, number one, that in life, anybody here want to be associates with somebody that's going to lie to you? Do you have a tendency to shy away if you know that they're not going to tell you the truth? What do you think God thinks when He looks at you and I? Does He expect us to be honest? There's no doubt about it. And looking at that, sometimes does it seem like if maybe you could get out of trouble if you just didn't tell the truth? Man. But do you ever forget it? Probably all of us can probably remember, a lot of us anyway, a time in their youth where they didn't tell the truth. Hopefully that bothered us bad enough that we decided it wouldn't happen again. Else we become known as an individual that cannot be trusted. As we look at this, there's numerous things that we're going to look at from the Scriptures. I want to notice this passage in Romans chapter 12 as we begin. And I think that we just sometimes do not recognize the far-reaching effects of the commands that Jesus has commanded, that He's given us, that we have to do. And how they go out around us and they filter the life that we live. and they affect all of our doings. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Then watch this. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Now, when the Bible says all men, does that mean all men? So it's not just between me and you, right? But all of the people that we meet on the outside, all of the people that we deal with. Guys, God is giving us an admonition here to make sure that we stand firm on being honest in all of our dealings. And so as we look at this subject, I'm going to look at a couple different things. Number is, I'm going to look at reasons people practice honesty. Okay? We're going to look at some things to consider, and then we're going to follow up with some words of wisdom when it comes to some honesty. And so as we look at this subject, we're going to be looking, number one, at reasons to be honest. You know, anything we do in life, sometimes we have to have a reason. You know, I remember when I was young, I didn't want spanking. I got a few. I didn't like that. I didn't like to lose privileges. I didn't want to get in trouble. And so there's a lot of times there's reasons to do the things that you're told. And there's really reasons, good reasons, to be honest. Number one, I want to go to Proverbs. And I'll tell you what, this passage in Proverbs chapter 6 is really puts this honesty thing into a large picture. Okay? You see them big TVs at Walmart? They're about yay wide. You can't reach across them. About yay tall, you can't reach there. And they're huge. This is a big reason. Watch what it says in verses 16 through 19. It says, "These things," in Proverbs 6, "these things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him." Now, I just want us to take that in for just a minute. God teaches us to not hate. Okay? We're not to hate one another. But we're talking about things that God hates. In fact, he even puts them in the realm of the fact that they're an abomination. An abomination is the epitome of terrible and filthy. And to God, these six and seven things are the epitome of filthy in his sight. So let's see what they are. A proud look. You think you're better than somebody else? God's not in favor of that. A lying tongue. An abomination. God hates it. To God, a lying tongue is one of those top seven abominations. He hates a lying tongue. Hands that are swift to shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. Have you ever wondered why God is, he said he hates a lying tongue and he hates a false witness that spreads lies? Are they both liars? Neither one of them's honest. And so two, at least in that list, are things that God hates that have to do with honesty. Two of the seven things that are an abomination to God have to do with honesty. That's pretty amazing. You think maybe that God has a pretty dim view of lying? I think he does. And then in the last one, it says, "He that sows discord among brethren." I love the good relationship that we have. But over the years, things have happened. God hates the one that sows discord. Well, as we look at the seven things, we recognize that two of these things that God hates, two of these things that are an abomination to Him, have to do with being a liar. Now, quite frankly, if I look at that and I recognize that God has that view of lying, I think I've got a good reason to tell the truth, right? Doesn't that encourage me? Because here something comes up and I have an opportunity and I'm thinking, okay, if I just don't tell the truth, then I'll be able to benefit, right? But then I think that's an abomination to God. God hates the lying tongue. In fact, God hates a false witness that speaks lies. And so as we look at this, we recognize that this is a big thing to God. And so as we look at this passage, we recognize that this is pretty important. And so that's where Romans 12 and verse 17, I read a minute ago, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Because we want to be pleasing to God. Do you want to please God? I want to please God. Do you want to please God? And so as we recognize this thing, I've got a good reason to give me strength to be honest. Let's go on a little bit further. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, well, let me back up to verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation. Now, conversation there is your manner of life. Okay? Just the way that you act and interact with people. Having your manner of life honest among the Gentiles. So, I mean, it's not just the words that we say. No, it's our entire life, the mannerisms that we have and the things that we do in society. God says we need to have our manner of life honest among the Gentiles. And notice why. He says that whereas they spake evil of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. A real good reason to be honest is because I'm going to be able to have a better influence on the world. Now, you've heard the stories as much as I have. There's hypocrites down there. And I'll tell you what, if there's ever one person within a group of people that stands out in one area, people know that person and they judge the whole group by that person, right? And so that's why you and me got to be very careful, because as we interact in the community around us, they look at us and say, that's what everybody's like down there. And over the years, I've heard so often, you know, well, there's hypocrites down there. And they say, well, I won't go there because there's hypocrites down there. And I'm thinking, I say, well, you know, I'd rather spend a little time with them now than forever with them in hell. Because the hypocrite is not going to make it to heaven, guys. And so, but at any rate, God's saying that we need to do our best to have a good influence on the world around us so that we can be a shining light to those around us. They may talk about us, but by their good works, they're going to let it shine. And so that we need to make sure that we do our best to have a good influence on those people that are around us. And I want to look at this in the light of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Because here is a passage that Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount about the influence that we have in the community around us. And guys, you and I have influence. Okay? They're looking at you and they're judging the church by it and they're judging Jesus by you, by your actions. And he says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, if we lie, if we're not honest in our dealings, what kind of a light does that shine on Jesus? Think about that for just a minute. You know? We want to help people go to heaven, and we want to influence them to do what's right. But if we're not doing what's right, that puts a bad light on Jesus. And they say, see, I got a good reason not to have anything to do with Jesus, because you bunch of people, I'm just as good as you are. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. You know, maybe I'm the only one who hears those stories, but people tell me that. And I'm thinking, man,
we've got a responsibility. Let's be honest. Because I tell you what, as we go about our daily life, we are observed by those around us. And if our manner of life is not honest, if we're telling lies, if we're doing things that are dishonest, people are going to see. You can't hide that. That is your influence within the community. And so I want a good influence. What is so neat? Is this not just with God? But when we're honest in our dealings, we're going to have blessings, right? You know, what happens when your employer gets a dishonest employee, guys? They fire you, right? Is that right? Well, you lied. You stole stuff. That's not telling the truth. That's not honest in your manner of life. And so we need to recognize that it even goes farther than your eternal salvation. Well, I guess the eternal salvation is farther than that, because this is a big deal. And so God wants us to be honest, and we need to make sure that we have honesty in our life so that we can have a good life and blessings that go with it. I want to go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11. Beginning in verse 9, he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, guys, sometimes in our heart, we would like to do things that we shouldn't do. You know, I have to tell myself no a lot of times. Sometimes, you know, you just want to kick somebody, right? You get so mad at him, you want to kick him. But your heart and your devotion to Jesus says, no, don't do that. And so the heart is wicked. But that's where you and I need to make sure that we control the actions and make the heart submit. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, Solomon said. And so we need to be careful to rein in that heart. And so he continues there. He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sits on eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end of his life shall be a fool." Now there he's talking about getting gain by lying and dishonest means. And God is saying that this individual is going to pay for it eventually. They might be able to be blessed, and that was what Solomon was trying to say in Ecclesiastes. He looks around and he sees these things that they're not right. And he's saying, you know, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Life seems a struggle. But then he comes back in the very end. He says, look, he said, "I see these injustices and I see these things that are wrong. I see people that are dishonest and they seem to be blessed." He says, "But I'll tell you what, the whole thing is live for God." And so no matter whether you see dishonest people, no matter whether you see lying people, no matter what you see around you, no matter how hopeless it seems, be honest in all your doings. But fear God and keep His commandments, chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14. And so, yes, it seems bleak at times, but don't fall into the trap that so many do. Because you've got to remember, as I have to remember, that if we're going to have a good life, we need to be honest. You know, guys, I've dealt with numerous people that lied over the years. I didn't want anything to do with them. You didn't believe a word they said. And so even when they were telling the truth, you didn't believe them. And so honesty is so very important. And so with that barrier between me and them, we never could have a good relationship. You know what's kind of neat though? I've dealt with people that I verifiably know that they've always been totally honest. Even at times when it hurt them, they were honest. And you know what's interesting? When the chips are down, and they tell me something, I don't even doubt it. Isn't it nice to be trusted when the chips are down? When all else seems to be falling out from under you, but you've always been honest, and when you say something, you're trusted. Obtain a good life. Be honest in your dealings with one another. In Proverbs again, chapter 11 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Now, I began this lesson talking about business. And back about 12 years ago, I started studying business and learning more about it because I felt that there were some good principles. All good business principles come from the Bible. That's where they come from, all right? And so I had studied them from that standpoint. And so then I began studying them from the other standpoint, from the business perspective. And I read books about business, and I looked at all kinds of things and to try to study them and then try to glean a little bit better idea of, are there things that I'm missing in the Bible? And so I'd compare them with the Bible and see what was going on. And I learned a lot of things about business. And one of the things that I've learned is a dishonest person is eventually going to fail. They're just not going to make it. You know, they're not going to have a business. But those that are honest in their dealings, they're going to be able to excel and to go forward. But they might, as Solomon said, seems like they prosper for a period of time. But in the end, they're going to get it. It's going to catch them. And so we need to make sure that we're honest, because God is saying that the uprightness of the integrity of the upright is going to guide them. So integrity is the determination that I have to do what is right and proper. And if I have that determination to do what is right and proper, and I'm determined to be honest, that integrity that I have is going to guide me to make good decisions. And it will all of us. Guys, you really need to watch the integrity of your heart. Don't allow seeds of evil to creep into your heart, because when those seeds get into your heart, they start to put down roots. So you got to guard your heart, okay? You don't want them roots sinking into your heart. Because when they sink in, they do damage to your heart. When they take root, they're hard to get out. We went to the garden to get rid of weeds yesterday. I loaned my machete out. That means you got to pull. And the roots sink down into the dirt, and you go try to pull the weeds, and what happens? A lot of times they don't come up, you know? You go to the flower bed, you try to get those walnut or the maple trees out of your flower bed. And if you get them and they're real little and they're just starting, they come right up, right? But the longer those roots grow, the harder it is to pull them. If you find yourself losing your integrity, you better stop it now. Because it'll be harder tomorrow, because them roots are going to grow down a little bit deeper. And the day after, they're going to grow down a little bit deeper. And before long, we have to buy the Tordon. You got to cut it off. Is it painful to cut off? And then there's the poison that you've got to use to kill the roots. The problem is, I wonder if that poison stays in the ground when it goes down into the root. Now think about the application there. And so here that poison goes down in the ground, and you've lied, you've been dishonest in your dealings, and so now you've got that pain to deal with the rest of your life. I want you all to stop and think. Not just us older people, but I want especially you younger people to think. You listen to me very carefully. You are making decisions right now. in your life. And you can make some pretty poor decisions. You get up to a teenager, you can ruin your life pretty quick and think that you're having fun in the process of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now you can cut it off and poison the roots. But it'll follow you and haunt you to the rest of your life. Hear me? It's your choice. It is your choice. It doesn't matter if it's honesty. It doesn't matter what part of your life it is. If you find yourself sinking into problems and allowing and feel this seed down in your heart and you start giving into it, you better stop it now. Because it'll haunt you. It'll haunt you. You just can't get rid of memories. And it doesn't matter whether it's business or life or what it is. There's your reputation in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. I mentioned this a little earlier. It says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. I remember when we moved to Jamesport, Missouri, there was a little boy that took a BB gun and shot at Dorothy. Oh my God. Didn't hit you. Good thing he wasn't a very good shot. Oh, I followed him to his house and knocked on the door and told his mother, and she thought it was funny. Needless to say, I guess you know what kind of a life that boy has led. A child is known by his doings. Okay? So, young people, you will be known by your actions. You're going to get a little older. Then we become adults and we get old and we get ready to die, but we're known for our doings. Our deeds will haunt us for the rest of our life. Make sure that you guard your reputations and make sure that it's a good one. There's another good reason to be honest, and that is to have good friends. You know that old phrase, birds of a feather flock together. And so if I'm the kind of an individual that is dishonest, if I am a liar, I am going to attract people that are a liar because everybody else, you're not going to have anything to do with me for long because you can say, I can't trust Fred. And so you're not going to be around me. And so the only one kind of people that's going to be around me is the kind of people that lie to me. I don't want to be around them. I want good friends. I really do. That's why I love you all. You're special. You're wonderful. I can trust you. What's neat is we can all grow together, can't we? We can learn together. We can humble ourselves before God together. We can struggle together. We can cry together. We can laugh together. I love the family of God. We got the same book to follow. The same Jesus that hung on that cross for us.
You want some tissues for your eyes, Fred?
I'll be okay. Let's make sure that we are a healthy part of that body. That we live for Him. That the kingdom is the most important thing in our life, and that means the Lord's church is the most important thing in our life, and God's righteousness. It's an abomination in God's sight to have a lying tongue Let's make sure that ours is honest. This afternoon, we're going to look at some things to consider and some words of wisdom in this. You know, God gave us a plan. And all He expects us to do is to follow the plan. And what's amazing, it's like honesty. I mean, if we're honest in our dealings, it's going to bless our life. You know, we talked about a business life and how it blesses the business life. About our relationships with others. I like good relations. I like to be friends and I like to have friends. I like to have that good relationship where we can have fun to be together. And that's great. But God provided that. And He tells us how to be a part of it. We've got to study His Bible to figure out what He says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We gain that faith. And by study, we learn we need to make some changes to our life. You know, we think about good reasons to make changes, and one is, I don't want to go to hell. You know, you've heard about hell and how terrible it is, the pain and the anguish. Hey, look, I don't care what physical illness you've suffered, you ain't even touched the hem of the garment of hell. He tells me I got to repent or I'm going to perish in Luke 13:3. That means when I read the Bible and I find out that I need to change, I change. Okay? I do it because I want to go to heaven instead. That's the place to be. He also says that I must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you say that He's the Son of God, you're saying He's got the right to boss you around. I want Him for my boss. Because I know whatever He tells me is good for me, right? And I know it'll bless my life if I follow Him. It's when I don't follow Him that I have the biggest problems. I don't want those. You know, life's got enough troubles as it is to make better. I don't want to make it worse by disobeying my master. And then He tells us that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins in Acts 2:38. So we can find that salvation. So that we can be a part of that family. So that we can be added by Jesus. Are you a part of that body? If not, you need to be. Because that's where the safety's at. If you're part of that body, is it your priority? Or does it take second place? Jesus won't accept second place. It's either first or it's not. Make sure that Jesus is the most important thing in your life, and it will show by your deeds. Is anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the invitation? You need to do it while we stand and sing.